Ladies and gentlemen, Back Gig Studio Lounge is proud to present The Gig Cast. Finished?
Of course not. Go ahead and start.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Gig Cast. This is Gig Cast Show 196 for, let's call it, the end of January 2011. This is your host, JT Shea, and no, you're not hearing things with me.
I actually am hearing things, but it's just you.
Well, actually, technically, I guess you are hearing things if you're listening to the podcast. And that, of course, is my beloved co-host, Scott Galton, back from... He was gone longer than I was, but he's back with us.
Hmm? I've been promoted to beloved.
Beloved, yes, beloved.
I was bastardish just 15 minutes ago.
Well, it's all relative. Anyway, yes, this is the Gig Cast. It is back. We're going to try to keep this one going a little bit longer than the last alliterations, or lack thereof, as the case may be. And we're going to do it again. This is the official podcast of Night Gig Studios. Where we talk about all things art on the web, whether it be web comics, which is kind of a focus, as well as music, any other graphic artists, stuff like that, even, who knows, programming.
Well, let's face facts. We pick on web comics because they're the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, they are low-hanging. Well, because they're out there. And that's how we got started. And as you can tell, we're a little rusty. We used to have just me?
Yeah, just you. You're rusty.
I'm feeling rusty. I am definitely feeling rusty.
Yeah, this will be fine. No, but like I was saying, we pick on webcomics because they're the low-hanging fruit, but we definitely want to open this up to anybody's suggestions. If you really want to hear us talk about pencil leads, we can do that. Matter of fact, we probably will. One of the things that I've always wanted to do more of is tutorial type things, you know, actually talk about, you know, the tools.
Sure.
Every once in a while we would talk about the different tools to get your stuff posted on the web, but, you know, since we stopped really recording on a regular basis, a lot's changed in both of our lives.
Oh, yeah.
I do a lot more illustration than I did before. I do fewer comics, but I do a lot more side stuff.
And I picked up a pencil for the first time in 5 years or 3 years or whatever it was.
Well, we should probably talk about that. When you say that you picked up a pencil for the first time in 5 years, you guys are actually going to relaunch Gecko Nation.
I think so, yeah. We're heading that way. I got a bit of a storyline in mind already. And when he says we, my daughter Ailish, who is now a freshman in high school, which blows my mind.
Wait. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh yeah. And she came to me and she's like, you know, Dad, you know, I got her a nice new tablet for Christmas. She's big into the whole, you know, DeviantArt, drawing and the stuff like I was. But she wants to. She said, if you will draw and write Gecko Nation, she said she'd ink it, she'd color it, she'd letter it, and then we'd post it. So I took up the challenge, and I'm trying to shake the rust off the hinges again, talking about feeling rusty, and seeing if I can remember how to draw my characters and try to remember what their names were and that kind of stuff. It was
she actually got a DeviantArt account?
Yeah, she's having for a while.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I am me that. I'll have to.
I will. I'm not going to post it right here now unless people. You know,
in the show notes.
Until it's okay with
go
her.
Go ahead and stalk my daughter.
But yeah. She's more, you know, big into the anime scene, and she does a lot of her drawings kind of like that. But you know, she's very artistic in many ways. She sews. She paints. She does a digital thing. So it's good. It's nice to see somebody who still does that kind of stuff in the family. So again, we'll work on it, and when we finally get it down, we'll start posting. You know, it's not going to be like a 3 a week or anything like that, but maybe just 1 a week or so. But it should be fun. A good father-daughter project.
Well, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the other things I want to... So, basically, we're talking webcomics. We're talking art and tools. We're talking... I've picked up photography as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've always enjoyed photography.
Photography.
But up until a year ago, I only had crappy little point and shoots.
Uh-huh.
So we picked up a Nikon, the low-end Nikon digital SLR. And we've been having some fun, basically just kind of on the cheap doing some artsy photography. And I'm looking forward to this summer because my wife takes some fabulous, like, in the yard photos and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
I can picture her. She's a photographer. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Say no more. Yes.
What?
Candid photography.
Oh, yeah.
Monty Python reference. I'm sure most people got that.
You got to come for a visit and you meet my wife.
I'm really looking forward. Again, I don't know if it's going to happen, but that would be cool. You've already invited a bunch of people from Night Gig up to, was it Fall Con? Is that the one we're talking about?
No, this will be Spring Con. Fall Con used to be the big show,
mm-hmm.
but due to some other events sort of right around Fall Con,
mm-hmm.
they decided to make Spring Con the big show and Fall Con the one-day show.
That's cool. But whether or not I can make it or not, you people will be up there. We'll be introduced to the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Carl Kouros. He'll be up there for you. So it's going to be a fun time for you and your family, regardless of if I show up or not.
And James Ryan's going to be there.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, he's real excited about it. You can always see him. His emails are leaping off the page with the energy he's putting in there.
Yeah, so I'm actually looking forward to seeing what a Carl/James Riot con sales push looks like. That's going to be interesting.
That would be very interesting because Carl can sell, and his stuff actually sells pretty well at the cons.
It's always entertaining watching a grown man sell like Smurf snuff porn to 19-year-old girls.
You know, the funny thing is, as soon as you said Carl sell, the first thing that popped to my head was a Smurf porn.
Yeah,
I didn't put the snuff in there, but that tells you folks that's Carl. Carl, one of the original hosts here on the Gigcast.
Yeah, whatever happened to that?
He moved.
Joe was the original host.
Yeah,
Carl,
yeah, that was quite the international thing. We had Florida, and at the time I was at Arkansas. I think she was in, or was it Kansas at the time? I think it was Kansas, and then Carl, of course, was in. Of all places, Switzerland.
Was she in Kansas when you started, or was she in Germany?
No, she wasn't in Germany. She had just gotten back, or she went. I don't even know what I had for breakfast this morning. You're talking 5 years ago. Anyway, so lots of things happening here at Night Gig.
Night Gig World Headquarters,
which has moved two doors down, by the way, in case you're wondering. If you notice around me, the studio's a little different. What's that?
Did you get the fountain moved?
The fountain is in the foyer.
In the commons area.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. The inner courtyard. So it's still visible. It's still ours, so that's fine. And I really don't have a dedicated studio here at the new world headquarters. But this
is all about the new Night Gig cloud,
right? It's a kind of it's just like cloud computing. It's cloud podcasting where I don't have to be in one location to actually record the content. I can move around as the needs may be, or so
ooh.
They say.
Hmm? Ooh, speaking of the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys at work pointed out today that if you go out to thinkgeek.com,
yes,
you can buy a the Monolith from 2001, 2010, the action
figure. Action figure. I've seen that. That is amazing. It is.
He got such a kick out of that.
And it has no points of articulation, I believe is what it says.
That was exactly what cracked him up. He must have laughed for about,
Those Think Geek people.
Minutes.
Those Think Geek people are brilliant. I mean, just their copy editors are brilliant. Never mind the stuff they sell.
I don't know that it's them, but whoever their marketing guy is, whoever goes out and finds these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they present it just beautifully.
It's like almost like they're pulling from the same gene pool of the people that do the Woot write ups for their stuff. Yeah. It's just brilliant. Even if you're never gonna buy anything, it's just fun. Looking at the site and reading the descriptions, like the canned unicorn meat. You know, they got. Remember back when they got sued because
that was awesome.
They used the other white meat in their April Fool's unicorn meat thing.
The pork people sued them, and then the pork people got embarrassed in public because Think Geek went, no,
really,
stop being dumb.
It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right. So anyway, we're the GeekCast. We do have some news to report. What's going on there in the world of the interwebs and the night gigs there within?
Wait. You need to retire that.
The what?
Interwebs.
Oh, sorry. Is that passé?
We've been doing this for 5 years. You've been.
Can I call it the tubes?
You can.
Is it tubes? No.
I think at this point we need to update your jargon.
What should I call it? Just call it the internet? What should I call it?
Calling it the internet's probably fine.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like LOL cats.
Yeah.
Still funny in very, very small doses.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. No more interwebs or whatever, as I said.
Interwebs. Yeah. Okay. Stop being clever. You're a nice guy.
All right.
You're,
so it'll either be the web or the internet then. I'll just keep it simple.
Yeah. If something strikes your fancy, toss it out there.
Sure,
I may slap it down.
All right, that's not a problem. I appreciate that. I do. I've missed that in my life. The filter that is you.
I can only imagine how your children have been staring at you, going, "Really, Dad? You're still calling it intertubes?"
Oh, and you never mind that. Just the whole ukulele thing. It's it's yeah.
Dad, really,
you know, I think here's a JT's parenting tip of the day. If you have a child, preferably a female child, entering her teenage years, if you can get yourself a ukulele and then play it whenever her friends come over, you get major points in the game that we like to play called Embarrassing Your Children. It scores very high up there. Yeah. Especially if you play one of the current favorite pop songs. Because the best part is, right, you start playing some Jason Mraz or it gives you hell or something, whatever that song is, right? And let's see what happens is your daughter's embarrassed that you're playing in the first place. But then her friends recognize the song and think it's kind of cool, which then embarrasses the daughter even more.
Yeah, the fact that, oh my God, you stop encouraging him kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. I also got some kudos, embarrassment kudos, for having a in-depth conversation with one of my daughter's friends about Doctor Who the other day when I was driving them somewhere, picking them up from the library, I think, for a project, and got into a detailed discussion about Doctor Who with one of the kids in her study group. That was good too. So at least my daughter's hanging out with the right class of people, right?
Well, yeah, that's always good to know. Of course, yeah. Now that they're casting better looking doctors, I guess it was only natural that. Well, you know what? This may very well be a which came first, the chicken or the egg kind of a question.
Uh-huh.
Did girls get nerdier so they felt the need to cast better looking doctors?
Well,
or did the doctor get better looking and bring in nerdy girl fans?
Well, you know, it's a good question. Now, when they rebooted the series in 2005, right, they brought in Eccleston, who by no means would be considered cute, I don't think, with the nose and the ears.
Yeah,
I'm
going with you there, mm-hmm. but I work with a woman who, you know, ooh la la, Eccleston is her guy.
Well, there's always going to be that. But then there are people that think that Carrot Top is their guy. So you can't really go with
There is no one who thinks Carrot Top is their guy.
But okay, then
I say that at great risk to myself, because right. Carrot Top has been working out.
Uh-huh. Well, he has to, because he's probably been beat up too many times.
Maybe.
I don't know. But anyway. Well, yeah, but then they went to Tennant, who was younger, and I would say better looking, I'm sure, to most people.
And he's got Harry Potter cred.
He's got major Harry Potter cred. Now, was he Harry Potter in the Harry Potter movies before he was a doctor?
Wait, what? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you just called him Harry Potter.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, he was in, what are we up to? There's the
first half of the seventh is out right now.
Yeah, Tennant came in somewhere in the middle of the series.
Like third or something?
He was the son. Well, he was the guy who played...
He's one of the bad guys, one of the Death Eaters.
He came in when Mad-Eye Moody came in.
Right. So that would be in the third year, which I don't know. Wasn't it?
I don't know.
That was the Order of the Phoenix, right? That one?
No, I think it was before that. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Moving on.
At least we still know how to keep things right on track. Anyway, I don't know. Then, of course, this last Doctor, who I kind of like because I like the Fez, which is pretty cool, because Fezes are cool. But he's even younger.
Fez?
But, huh?
He has a Fez?
You haven't seen the full whole season five yet?
Maybe not.
In the final episodes there, he wears a Fez momentarily.
I missed that.
Yeah,
I saw the Christmas special.
No, before that, it was in the Pandoric episodes.
I don't remember the Fez.
Remember River throws it in the air and whatever, Amy throws it in the air and River shoots it? Whatever. Anyway. What's this podcast about?
Okay. Yeah, welcome to the Geekcast. This is episode 196.
And you know, it sure seems like we've been gone for a long time. But you know, really, you know, if you look back through the archives, we've been off and on over the last year and a half. All right.
You know what we haven't. You know what we haven't done?
What's that?
Speaking of a long time,
mm-hmm.
We haven't given you a daily grind report.
Yeah, we can't have been off the air for that long because the daily grind's still going on.
Well, that's not really true because we could have been off the air for 4 years. And the daily grind.
True.
So
see something here. Your
longtime listeners of the Gigcast will know what we're talking about. The Daily Grind was a basically a last man standing type contest to see who could basically update their comic longest. And there were some pretty heavy hitters in this contest. Guys that you thought, nope, they're never going to miss a day. This is going
to
be a...
Okay, just to put this in perspective... we first reported on the Daily Grind on December 14th, 2005. That's when we first reported on the Daily Grind.
Yep.
Yeah.
And since that time, Scott Kurtz was in it, Chris Crosby was in it, Jane Breeden from Devil's Panties was in it, there were some big daily updating power hitters.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Jenny Breeden. I wouldn't have thought Jenny Breeden would have fallen out. But she did.
Or Greg Dean, for that matter.
Even at the time, DJ Kaufman. Because DJ Kaufman was really, really popular.
Steve Troop was in it for a while there.
Steve Troop was in it for a while. But all these guys, you know, oops, you missed.
Yeah.
And we're down to the last five. I mean, it's only taken 5 years to get here, but you're down to your last five. Of course, we need to get down to the last two.
The only one in that I have whose comic I read or still might even read is Brad Guigar there for Evil Inc.
Yeah, I'm with you there. That's I'm going to have to sort of by default, I'm pulling for Geiger.
And yeah, but isn't he? Isn't he a pro? I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it doesn't make a difference left or right, but doesn't he make his money?
I would say that multiple people on this list, even of the losers, do this professionally.
Sure, sure.
But yes, Brad had, well, I don't think he has his print run comic. I mean, the daily in the newspaper comic anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He might. He was published on a Philadelphia paper. But yeah, he does Evil Inc. He does, I can't remember the other one. He's got a couple of comics that he does.
Yeah.
Plus he does Webcomics Inc. No, webcomics.com.
Well, yeah, he's editor of webcomics.com.
He's got a full plate of things.
Oh yeah.
And he doesn't miss a day. But part of it too is as I was listening to one of the Webcomics Weekly, which updates almost as often as we do.
I think we've got a bigger back catalog, but go ahead.
it balances out. We had a long break, but he was mentioning that because he's working with another artist who's doing the coloring on his strip now, he has to work with a much larger buffer.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, yeah. So he can't he can't let his buffer slip because, you know, if he got down to just doing it the day before, well, he's just missed.
Yeah.
But no, out of all the guys that we've been reading about, I mean, love them or hate the half pixel guys, sit down, read up. Brad is professional.
Big time.
From go, yeah. So yeah, he's the guy I'm pulling for. And I wouldn't feel bad to watch him win the money.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's that whoever's. I wonder if in a separate bank account and the interest is put going into the kitty as well.
Yeah, but you and I both know that interest on let's see the
$1,120.
Yeah, so I'm guessing
it's not a lot, but it could be something.
But. Do we have
a start date on this thing? I know that the first person to drop out was in March 2005, which is probably the day after the damn thing started.
I don't remember the start date was. I'm sure it's in their forums or something.
The rules were were revised on April 3rd, 2005.
Right off the bat, there was a lot of yelling and screaming. And after, like, the first year, people really stopped watching. And I mean, we're probably the only people reporting on it anymore.
It's still funny. I just think it's awesome that they're still going and it's still out there. It's a hell of a story. Anyway, let's see. And speaking of professionals.
Exactly. I love how you transitioned.
There's a Subway for you. Speaking of professionals. Those of you who have Pros Before Swine in your local newspapers are most likely fans of it. And if you listen to us and it's in the paper, you must be reading it. There's a few of the Pros Before Swine animations up on YouTube. Frickin' hilarious. It translates so well into animation, Steve Pastis's style there. And putting voices to those characters, the Zeba Neighbors.
you can find them on YouTube, but I think Go Comics is actually comics.com is the one who's actually legitimately putting them out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think people have been swiping them and putting them on YouTube.
Oh, well,
which I wholeheartedly support because
that's a link you sent me.
Well, that's because I don't know if Go Comics is going to make it available to everybody.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You're right. I should clarify that. But yeah, the comics.com. Boy, I said Go Comics again. Comics.com is, I believe, who's publishing all of the stuff on the web. His syndicate.
It looks like Ringtails is the one. I've got people doing the animation there.
Yep.
But they're great. They're under a minute. They're like 50 seconds a piece. And it's basically like reading the comic strip in front of you.
It's just like that. And it's not some goofy... we took the strip and we're just making an arm or two move or something. No, it's a cartoon. And it's good. I love the voice. I love the voices they've picked out. So I'm a fan.
Those of you who, again, you know, the Zebra Neighbors, I always just thought of them as speaking like kind of like dumb like the Zebra Neighbor. Hey, Zebra Neighbor. You know, the Zebra Neighbors, of course, the crocodiles. But they actually have an Eastern European, like, as you described it, the Borscht and Natasha accents from the Flying Squirrel. It actually works. It works very well. And gotta love them. So, no, these are being swiped. Is it one of these things where they're going to be, if you have to pay to see them, if they're not illegal like this, or do we know?
That's an excellent question.
I know
comics.com does have a subscription model.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, their website in the past has sucked.
Yeah.
And so I've avoided it because, you know.
Oh, there's bunches of
nothing
them.
Nothing is more irritating than a website that's almost that's exclusively dedicated to comics, and yet the smallest thing on the page is the comic.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, I mean, they've got all these advertisements and all these little flash animations. But if you're looking for comics, yeah, that's the smallest thing on the page.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Well, they got to make their money. I mean, they got to make their money somehow. And it's you can't do a daily comic on a subscription model. I mean,
Well, I think it's you pay for the archive is all. I mean, because, like, you can go read the latest Rip Haywire.
Right. Right,
and I'm trying to figure out. I'm going to go.
Which makes sense. I mean, that makes sense if you want to read the whole backstory there, because you can either do one of two things. You go and go to the bookstore and you buy the compilations, or you know, throw a little money on what is it? Go Comics? Are you saying?
Well, this is comics.com.
Comics.com.
Yeah, we keep talking about Go Comics because we've got so many people we know that are on Go Comics.
Yeah. So you can get somebody at comics.com and go back. Either way, you're paying for it, which is fine and dandy. No, I forgot what I was going to say.
I don't know either.
Yeah, must not have been important.
All right, you know, I might have to bite my tongue here. We're going to have to get back to you about how they actually work this, because I've just been arrowing through some of this stuff. And again, my complaint is that I understand they're looking to get everybody into the same size, but how about that same size be slightly bigger than what you can actually see it in a newspaper?
That'd be a good idea. Because basically that's what we're seeing. You're seeing the newspaper size. Now, if I do this. Control plus, plus, plus. No. Yeah, it makes it bigger. You can do that. You can zoom in on it just like any other website.
Well, yeah, but that's beside the point. The web page, we'll say the web page is designed to be 800 by whatever, 800 by 600.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I think it's actually 1024 or whatever, to be 1024 wide.
Yeah,
then the comic should be damn near that wide.
Yeah, well, that's been a whole design thing for web comics since they've been put out on the web. You know how to fit them on the monitor correctly and still get everything else in there. And when you're trying to deal with an ad model, an ad based revenue model, where you have to have your ads on there as well.
Nope, I completely agree. It has to be predictable. And I mean, and I guess I shouldn't complain too much, because looking at like Rip Haywire, for example. It is 640. It is 640 wide, and I know a lot of people are using it, but I do. I really think that if your website is dedicated to comics, the whole top of the damn page should be comics. But, you know, it should be large. It should be easy to read. It, you know, the advertisements shouldn't be look. The advertisements shouldn't appear to be bigger. That's my complaint.
Oh my God, Mama's still on, still being made.
Are you sure you're looking at the list of comics?
Yeah, wow, really? I thought she would have died long ago.
Mama, I haven't read.
She was old when I was reading it. I know, me either. I'm just going through. I'm not looking. I'm just going with what they have here.
Well, and is Mama actually still being made, or is it? These are the reruns.
That's a very good question.
Oh no, that's a copyright. That's a copyright 2011.
That's, well, so if you look at the, Peanuts, it says that as well. And Sparky's been dead forever.
They're just stamping it again.
Let's see here.
Well, it's Creator Syndicate, apparently, that's doing this, because it's creators.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're either rerunning it or somebody else is rewriting it or something.
Or they're just redoing it. You know, reposting them like...
Maybe. I mean, it's... It does look suspiciously like they are just slapping on some stuff.
It debuted in 1970, October 26. It's currently handled by Creators Syndicate and published in more than... It doesn't say it stopped.
No. It doesn't say who's actually doing it. I mean, is it just
I'm on the wiki here, so who knows how accurate it actually is. But it doesn't say it's not new.
Hey, Doug on comics.com.
You gotta love that.
Yep. Well.
But they're gonna get.
There's a lot of comics in this list here that I really like, so yeah. I'm not gonna complain too much. I just. I may have to take a second look at comics.com. I've been away from some of these things for so long.
And
real honestly, as much as I'm complaining about comics.com, their front page interface, Drunk Duck should be stealing this whole thing. I mean, they should be going,
I know Drunk Duck is still there.
And they moved their server to the Wawio farm.
Okay.
So while we were gone, did you know that Drunk Duck got bought?
Yes. I knew that.
Okay. And that Platinum is going to make some ungodly amount of money off of that stupid Cowboys versus Aliens movie.
Do you still have your collector's edition of the comic book?
No, I never even made it home.
The convention floor was littered with those things. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm going to go on record as saying that if the movie actually religiously follows the trade paperback, that movie is going to suck.
Are you saying that the story in the trade paperback wouldn't translate well to film, or that it just sucked to begin with?
I stopped reading the trade paperback when they had the magic horseshoes. I'm sorry, the alien horseshoes, so that the horses could fly.
Wow, that says it all. that says it all. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't care that Harrison Ford's in it. I think Harrison Ford is past his prime. And that hurts me a little bit because
ever since I saw him with that big diamond earring in his ear, it just ruined it for me.
Well, I think when he hooked up with Calista Flockhart, I don't know what happened.
You think she sucked his brain out of his nose or something?
I think she castrated him, perhaps. Ah, I don't know. Because he's such a limp fish on screen now. I can't think of a movie I've seen him in within the last 5 years, anyway.
You didn't like the latest Indiana Jones movie?
I found the latest Indiana Jones movie to be entertaining. And it's actually, I actually own it. But yeah. I don't know why I own it. My kids
love it. I gotcha. I can't complain.
It's horrible to think that. You know, it's sitting on the shelf right next to the other Indiana Jones movies, kind of stinking them up. Not that I really thought all the other Indiana Jones movies were beautiful works of fiction, because they had stinky parts in them.
Right, but it was Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, the Indiana, I mean, punching Nazis to Indiana Jones. I mean.
And as sidekicks go, Shia LaBeouf is...
Not a sidekick. He's his son.
What was the Short Round? Short Round could have been his kid. We don't know.
That's very true. That is very, very true.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people. and the whole, hey, I jumped into it. And I do love this part. I crawled inside a refrigerator to escape the nuclear test. And survived. But I was able to actually get out of the refrigerator.
That was back in the day when the kids crawled in the refrigerators. They suffocated because they couldn't get out.
Yeah, because you couldn't just push them open because they would latch shut.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and my favorite part is that somebody wrote that scene, and nobody thought to go, this is really going to look dumb. Like what you're doing with the Clone Wars animated series. Maybe we shouldn't do this.
You go back to focusing and putting Star Wars out in 3D, and we'll take care of the rest here.
Oh,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of movie stuff, did you hear the rumor about there's going to be a Tron animated series?
I didn't hear it, but it's Disney, and they make an animated series about everything, so I don't see why they wouldn't.
Well, this was going to be something, I'm sorry, I didn't actually bring the link.
You know what would be awesome? If it wasn't CGI. If it was actually like a hand-drawn.
Why would that be awesome?
Because it would just be, not awesome, maybe ironic. How's that?
What are you, damn stupid hipster?
Yeah, wouldn't it be funny though if they came out with a Tron and it was just like hand drawn? It was like old Hanna-Barbera animation.
Yeah, you know, it'd be really cool, man.
It'd be like an insight into the inner workings of, like, because see, like, in our world, the Tron world is like computer animated, but in their world, our world is like organic, man.
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 Yeah, that would be...
Well, you saw Jeff Bridges in the damn thing. He was a freaking hippie in the machine.
Well, he was a hippie in the first movie, too.
No, he wasn't. He was a... Are
you kidding me? He was a big, stick it to the man. Everything should be free. He was a hippie.
Yeah,
he was
okay. He was like Steve Jobs. No, not Steve Jobs. He was like...
Steve Jobs.
Wozniak. He was like Wozniak.
When has Steve Jobs given anything
not Steve
away?
I'm sorry, I went the wrong, the other guy. The other guy, the Wozniak, the guy who just wanted to create and let everybody do what they wanted with it.
Yeah. See, my iPad, it could be a $200 device and be approachable by everybody. But we like to price this thing like people do Prada handbags. Yeah, it's like...
And we could just let you play other movies and stuff on this, but you have to actually get it into iTunes, so you got to transmit it before you can put it on your machine. So
yeah you've got to buy a piece of hacked software if you want to get your iTunes software onto anything else. And
you know what? This would be an opportune time for my Windows machine just to crash on me right here, just to prove a point. Nothing against the Macintosh, really.
And you know what? That is the one thing that hasn't changed for me. I'm still working off the same stupid old computers.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So anyways, Daily Grind's still going.
Yeah, and we talked about that. We talked about the...
Pearls Before Swine.
Okay, that's good. Uh-huh, yeah. Hey, and, I told my daughter that, hey, we're going to start doing the good cast again. And she goes, okay. And then 2 days later, she sent me this link. And it turned out to be a webcomic that... done by a person that you, Scott, have been following on DeviantArt for a while.
Kevin Block.
B-O-L-K. The name of the comic is I'm My Own Mascot, and it's kind of a cute newspaper formatted. Is it autobiographical? I don't know. It's a lot of fourth wall type stuff going on there. Very cute though. Very well done. Black and white newspaper formatted. You can find it at mascotcomic.com. Or if you follow my daughter on Facebook, you would have the link already.
That's Mascot Comic, by the way, not Mad Scott.
Right, you're Mad Scott, and this is Mascot.
Yeah, I know how he's trying to do this. He's trying to confuse the issue.
Exactly. And it is, it reminds me very much of... No, try to follow me with this. Very much like a devil's panties, but done by a guy who's not crazy. No?
I'm not seeing that, but yeah, you go with that.
Well, because it's kind of autobiographical. He's writing about himself. He's writing about some ones I'm seeing have been kind of convention related. And okay. But he's not, you know, hanging out with pirates and with flaming boots.
It's,
and
so what you're saying is it's like Devil's Panties, without pirates, without kilts, without the sex jokes.
Okay, so all right, so it's nothing like the Devil's Panties except that it's a black and white web comic that's on the web.
Okay,
never mind.
I'll go with that.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I like it. I've only read a few two of the strips, but it's one I'm gonna in my wonderful job as a tech support guy with some downtime between calls. I will be going through the archives on this definitely.
Yeah, and it's Kevin's actually a professional illustrator, professional artist. So it's got some very high art quality to it. I mean, it's drawn in a classically cartoony fashion, uh-huh. But it's, you know, the lines are clean. It's, you know, when he draws a rat, it looks like a rat. When he draws a cat, it looks like a cat. You know, he draws a kid running around in a hat. It looks, you know,
yeah, but
but it's all done in a simple style. So, I mean, if you're an art snob like I am, it's an easy read. I mean, obviously, I'm already following this guy on DeviantArt. Kevin's been nothing but friendly, very approachable online. I haven't looked to see if he's got a Twitter account, things like that.
But. Sorry, I'm looking at his DeviantArt account, and he's got a bold new Disney Princess 1. It's kind of a zombie. Steampunk mermaid carrying a robotic arm with a lightsaber in one hand and a very steampunk pistol in the other. With bat wings, by the way. She also has bat wings.
The man knows his audience.
And vampire teeth.
I didn't catch the bat wings originally.
Yeah, bat wings are there, and vampire teeth, but with a steampunk hat type thing on with the clocks. And
it's like every nerdy guy's dream right now. It's, you know.
But it's in that same kind of cartoony style you're talking about. Very, very clean, very well illustrated. Very
it's
nice.
A very zombie, very nice. Steampunk, Little Mermaid.
Right. Batwing
Jedi. Goth Jedi. Yeah, there we go.
With a pistol as well, but just very. Yeah, that'd be Disney for you because, you know, they get. Disney's not Star Wars. Well, I guess they have.
I take it back. Okay, here it is. The description.
All right, go for it.
Here's Ariel from Disney's The Little Mermaid, boldly reimagined as a steampunk cyborg zombie Jedi vampire.
Exactly. And of course, that's exactly what it is. And of course, he's the guy who drew it, so he knows what it is. Yeah. So, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I like the signature. It goes by Cabo.
Cabo?
Yeah, you ought to really like that because you like it when people shorten up their names to sound like
K-Fed
something. Yeah, like Joko.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Nothing irritates me more when people go by their wacky nicknames, JT.
Those are initials. That's not a wacky nickname. Now, if I call myself J. Timbo or something, then that may be a wacky but shortening, but it's not. It's just JT. Now, speaking of wacky nicknames...
Joe T.,
Joe T and the Pussycats. There was a little flow of whatever consciousness. I sent you this link the other day. There was the Joko Crazy Cruise that went on a little while ago, and Will Wheaton was on board there, and so was Molly.
Actually, I think that was from one of the packs, wasn't it?
That was from the Joko Crazy Cruise. I believe.
All right.
Because Molly was there and Paul and Storm and Joko, and they sang Jonathan Coulton's song, My Monkey, but they changed it to Will Wheaton. And it's very, very funny, very well done. And it was like a convergence of all my geeky tude stuff right there. You had the whole Will Wheaton thing, you had the Jonathan Coulton thing, you had the Molly with her ukulele thing, all right there. It was kind of cool. Very neat old video. Oh, if I remember to put it in the notes, I will.
Sure.
Yeah. So check out Kevin Bulk at .deviantart.com and also his I'm My Own Mascot, which is at www.mascotcomic.com. You'll be glad you did.
Hey, one other thing that we should probably mention, not that he really needs our promotion, but there is a new comic called Rat Fist, and it's drawn by, and boy, did I just move my, Doug Ten Nepal. I probably pronounced that wrong.
Yeah, it's Doug Ten Nipple. I mean, sorry, yeah, Ten Nepal. Not Ten Nipple? Nepal? Nipple?
Don't call him Nipple, that's just me.
Sorry. Anyway, go on.
he's the creator of Earthworm Jim. Earthworm Jim, if you don't know what it is, you really need to sit down and go to YouTube and just just go to YouTube and look up Earthworm Jim and entertain yourself for about a day. Earthworm Jim was a hilarious comic. I'm sorry, cartoon. Ratfist looks like it's going to be every bit as wacky. Ratfist is a boy-like superhero in a man's body, and he has some kind of a crazy rat-absorbing power. But you know, he's only like 15 strips into the series, and it looks like it'll make kind of a nice collected trade eventually. And the story is written pretty well so far. It flows pretty well. It's not like one page reads and is hilarious and the next page just kind of is awkward or anything like that. But that's at ratfist.com, so you want to check that out.
Yeah. Now you're going to watch his readership soar because, I mean, besides us, the only other press he's gotten besides us is a write-up in the USA's Today's Pop Candy section. So,
yeah, you know, just a couple of hits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like some of the posts he's been making with them. Yeah, because he talked about going home to visit the family and how his brother's a miner. He goes, you know, and miner is a real job, not like cartoonist. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how that's got to feel when you go home and, you know, oh boy, my drawing hand is just worn out, and there's your brother covered in coal dust. You know, it's like. Yeah.
Man, my back is killing me from bending over that artist easel all day long. You know, my drawing table. Yeah. That's right here. Grab a hammer and get in the mind, you punk. Boom, boom, boom. Very, very cool. Yeah, I'm going to have to go back to the beginning and read that as well because it looks really cool. I mean, according to USA Today, it's a new webcomic follows a man-child superhero and his beloved rat. So, you know, you can't miss.
So how long have we been recording?
We've been recording now for 48 minutes and 16 seconds.
We've got other things we could have talked about, but we should probably just wrap up.
I think so. As for a comeback show, if you want to call it that, is pretty good. But I just want to, first of all, say...
In the immortal words of... what's his name? Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for... Never mind.
I don't know... Where you?
Is it LL Cool J that did the whole "Don't call it a comeback"?
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, one quick mention here: if you guys are fans of listening to audio and audio fiction, you need to go over and check out the entire Trader's Diaries over on
Trader's Tales
by Nathan Lowell. You can get them on PatioBooks.com. Start with quarter share and work your way up to owner share. 6 books of incredible storytelling.
And while you're there, then also check out everything else he's read. He did the Trader's Tales, which is a kind of a Solar Clipper in
Tales
space.
Tales of the Solar Clippers, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so merchant sailor in space.
Yeah.
But then he also has a couple of other little stories. A series that he started called South Coast, which is pretty cool. It's kind of a drama about... they're colonists on a planet, and they're kind of a fishing village kind of a thing, but they're all, you know, they got problems and things.
Yeah.
And then he's got Ravenwood, I think it's called.
Yes.
Where it's kind of the story revolves around an aging woman who also happens to be kind of a shaman-like person. So it's got kind of that sword and sorcery sort of feel.
Yeah, more of a D&D type thing going on.
Yep. And then he's been doing readings for other authors. So he read a book called Crown Conspiracy, which was just fun. It was a good story, but Nathan Lowell does such a great job with reading.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a voice that just soothing, and that's really, kind of weird to talk about, but.
Yeah, I don't recommend trying to listen to this while you're in bed. You'll just go to sleep and miss half the story.
No, but not me.
it's really good. So definitely check that out. And just in the off chance that Mr. Lowell is listening, damn you and your Article 37, sir. All right. Actually, very well done. Article 37, very well done. One thing I do want to mention, I did tweet yesterday before we recorded this that I was going to be doing that, and I got an answer back from Robert the Plant, a.k.a. Lucas Turnbloom, wanting me to let you guys know about his new webcomic over, it's entitled 4G, and that's over on, and I'm going to click this link, and you may or may not hear something. It's over on talkaboutit.org/4G. Let's see here. Yeah, you probably are hearing it right now. What you're hearing is the street noise you get when you go look at the comic. So I'm closing the comic now that I got the URL. It's Lucas Turnbloom's awesome. It looks like it's really good. It's really geeky, which is cool. It's talking about kind of geeky stuff and geeky people talking about geeky stuff, and there's a robot and whatnot. Very funny. Check it out. And if you just turn down your speakers because you get the street noise when you're looking at the page. Not sure what's up with that. And this is a quick shout out to Catherine White. Oh my God, no way, she says, and I say yes way. Good cast. It's back. All right. You got anything else, Scott?
Nope, not really.
Okay. Well then, I think that about covers it. And Nick Nitro just tweeted, "I'll believe it when I download it." Then again, if I don't upload it, he won't hear me dispute it. So
we could just email it to him.
Okay.
for all we know, he's the only one left to subscribe.
The uncompressed WAV file. Yes. Those of you who are listening to this, you got it off the Night Gig feed. We're not going to be I don't know. Should we post this on the GigCast feed as well?
The old feed? What? I guess there's not a whole lot of reason not to have both.
Yeah. All right, then. We'll do that for this one anyway. If you listen, if you did get this off the old GigCast feed, please go over and subscribe to the nightgig.com feed, which is...
I think you misunderstood.
What?
I mean, since we're now going to be hosting all of our own files...
Right.
Does it make any sense to have two different feeds?
No, it doesn't.
I mean, can't they just both be the same feed?
No, they can't.
Oh. Well, we'll talk about that later then.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. All right. Anyway, thanks for choosing. Geez, see, I've been working this damn job, and thank you for calling.
How can I help?
Yeah, when I hang up, thank you for choosing X Company, the home of this news channel, local news channel. And so that's what I just about said.
So whenever you start a support call,
yeah,
do you do what I do and say, I'm sorry?
Yes. Oh, that's the first thing I say.
Whatever it is, doesn't matter how wrong it was.
I go through my blurb, and they say, "I'm having trouble with my internet." Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. Let me see what I can do for you. It's what you do. Yeah, you just apologize. I'm an official apologizer. That's what I do.
Yeah, my coworker who sits off to the one side of me.
Yeah.
He thinks it's funny every time that I get on the phone with somebody because it'll be. Yeah, I'm really having a bad day. I deleted all of my files. Ooh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter that they screwed it up.
Right.
It's,
I'm sorry
that's
to hear that.
Bad. I'm sorry. Yeah. We'll get that fixed up, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Tech support. Yeah. As I like to say, tech support, same day, different voices.
Yeah. On the way into work today, I ran over a cat. Ooh, yeah, I'm sorry. We'll get that cat cleaned up.
So yeah, this is the podcast, the official podcast from Night Gig Studios. But if you have any day gig horror stories you want to share with us, send them along. We'll commiserate with you. All right. I'd like to just wrap this up there. Again, thanks for listening. This is JT Shea for Scott Galton, saying, welcome, we're back.
Say it. You want to say gig out?
No, I don't want to say gig. I just want to, thank, Beatnik Turtle again for the theme music.
Excellent job.
Beatnikturtle.com. I believe they're still there. I haven't checked in a while. They should still be there. I think we're sort of kind of still affiliated with Farpoint Media, possibly.
That's a big thing, because although we support everything that Farpoint Media is doing, they've had some shakeup and they've had to actually start charging for their hosting. So,
yeah. I wonder if, again, we'll have to, again, a little inside baseball. Are we still going to be part of Farpoint Media and they're going to help push people our direction, or is that kind of... that's true. Yeah, that's...
And that's sort of the downside.
I don't even think, part of
the reason that we're not actually going to pay for it.
I don't even think they noticed we weren't posting.
Right.
So,
like any major website, they've got their few that make it worth their time, and then they have the rest of us.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we're still affiliated, and there's some great podcasts over there, so check them out. And besides that, again, thanks for listening, and we will be back. Now, it may not be weekly, but we will be at least a couple times a month here, if not more. This has been a lot of fun. It's been a long time since I've done it, and I wouldn't mind doing it every week. So look for us again soon, and try again. We're probably going to post. Definitely we post it on the Night Gig feed. So if you're still on the GigCast feed, you might want to switch over. If we decide to abandon the GigCast feed, I will put one more show thing in there letting people know to switch over. So if you're hearing a show that just says, we've moved, please point your podcatcher to www.nightgig.com/feed_?podcast, whatever it may be, do that and you'll get the new show.
Yeah, in classic Oz fashion, we just haven't decided yet.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. All right, again, this is JT Shea for Scott Galton here at Night Gig Studios and the GigCast, wishing you all a happy 2011, and we'll see you next week. Maybe. This has been the GigCast. Remember, all links mentioned on today's show can be found at our homepage at www.thegigcast.com. The GigCast asks, what's your gig? Let us know. Drop us a line at gigcast@nightgig.com or call our voicemail line at 1-206-203-3334. The best we played every week on the show. Help us help you let people know what is your night gig. Music for the GigCast provided by Beatnik Turtle at beatnikturtle.com and by Corey Smith at myspace.com/TheCoreySmith. The GigCast is a production of Night Gig Studios at nightgig.com, where it's not about what you do to live, it's about what you live to do. Nightgig.com. What's your gig?
One.